welcome everybody. We're here to talk about data. We're going to talk about metadata, and this should not be a shock to anybody who knows us, who knows Jason, who's met Michael, all of you in the room. Data's on the agenda. So we have a great title. It's really long. Let's see. How Sony's Leveraging Curated Prescriptive Metadata for Competitive Business Value. But we put all those words in there because we have talked a lot about data. But much more now, we're really thinking about what is it the data is really going to do on the business side. And what do you need to do to get there? What are the steps you need to do to actually put your data in a place where it's going to make a difference? Maybe we're kind of turning a corner in this community, right? We talk about smart content and what's the ideas. Maybe we're getting to be smart business, smart organization, bigger things. And so I'm going to start you guys off with some of those thoughts. We're going to get to Jason. He's going to give us an overview of what's going on at the Sony Pictures Archive. Guest star, Michael Mangieri. You will hear him do some lip sync, because I don't think we have sound on the computer, so that's going to be really exciting. And then we will wrap it up, and this is all going to happen in 25 minutes, so stay in your seats and get ready. So, I mentioned that we're going to talk about data. We did start with smart content. It's a great concept. This is actually now, I keep coming and reminding people, this is 4 or 5 years old to be here, but we're nowhere near this. We're nowhere near tackling the data all around the content. And, you know, it's also in the job, not just here. So I wanted to just give you guys a sense of some other people thinking about this. John, did you want to take a picture? Too late. Other people thinking about this. It wasn't just this community talking about smart content. So has anybody heard of Shelley Palmer? Yeah, okay. This room, you guys should know Shelley. New York guy talking about media, saying, very importantly, data rich or data poor, companies with the greatest ability to turn data into action are going to win. Now, he's making this extreme point. And he made this point in 2015. I think I have you can see the date. The date's right there. Sorry. Go away. There you go. He made this point in 2015 because he was trying to point out that it's not your audience size, it's not your revenue, it's not your engagement. In this new world, it's your data that is going to be the measurement. And he wants to point out very clearly that it's Google, Facebook, Apple. Somewhere way above in the stratosphere is Amazon. And on that chart of my hands, we're not on the chart. We really need to get up from the floor and get to this point. So that's the point that Shelley's making, and I think it's about this turning it into action, which is key, because you really need to take some other voices. My friend Isaac, CIO, he does this great CIO thing called Star CIO, and he really makes a point. He's like, look, you're not gonna get to your digital transformation, you're not gonna get to this next place, you know, the guy was talking about, unless you know where your data comes from and how you can use it. So not just enough to think the data's out there, you have to be able to use it. And then there's my colleague, Michelle. Last fall, my friend in outside of Amsterdam, and he came up with this great thing that I want all of you to think about. Industrialize your data. Treat it as an asset. You go through all this work to make sure you have your people, the goods, the things you invest in. Data has to be the same level. So, it's kind of my beginning of this conversation. Does anybody have a data tagline? Something that they use or that they think about? Anybody? I know many of you guys have worked in data, so what's a data? Eric,
I'm a tech.
Give us a data tagline.
Man, I don't know.
Information's power? Come on. Anybody? All right, I did tee up one. So what's your data tagline?
Our data tagline with my team is don't write over any data, and it's because the first year of our business, somebody did.
So keep your data. Data's valuable. Anybody else got a data tagline that they might throw out there in the world?
When we throw out, everything is data.
Everything is data. That's a good one. Anybody, there's another thing that's been in the air for a while, like the value of data. All right, we're on time. Normally I'm really stubborn, and I sit there and I make all of you do this, but we're on time, so we're going to keep going. Something about data is new oil. You guys have all heard this one, right?
Yeah.
I do want to point out that this is 2014 when I first found the notion of this. So it's been around for a while. It's also one of my favorite ones because if you do a search for infographics on data's new oil, 17,600,000 infographics. This is something that obviously is out there. And this is my favorite one because this is how it is, right? I mean, you just go have this big reservoir of data and you just go stick it in and just pull out the data, right? I mean, isn't that where we are? So I know that's not where we are, but it is the value point, and And that's where I'm going to turn it over to Jason, who's going to explain that takes a little bit more than just sticking a big data spigot in the ground. Thanks.
Do you want this one or no?
This is one.
So I think to Matt's point about sticking the pipe in the ground and being able to pull out all that data, I think in an ideal world, that is what we in our group would love to do. There is, Steve mentioned in the last presentation, there's so much data that is being captured by your pre-production and your production teams, and all of that data gets used during production, but then as we get to distribution and we get to sort of these post-distribution businesses like the one that I manage, it's all gone. So in order for us to do what we do, we end up having to track some of that data down, pull it into our system, create new data, figuring out what sort of questions our customers and our business needs to be able to ask so that we can actually make sure that we're making the right data to solve business problems. So my group, content licensing group. So we're responsible, if you can see it there, for licensing any digital asset that is not the finished product itself, right? So if you want to license B-roll that was filmed for a production that's coming through our team, if you want to license posters of the movie, production stills, behind-the-scenes photography, even down to screenplay excerpts or thematic elements, like all that runs through us, and then film clips. So you're not licensing the entire film, you're licensing a clip from the film. If you want to license the whole movie, there's an entire studio of people that can do that. So historically, creating data around stock elements or these photos was pretty straightforward. Sometimes the productions would create that data, it would end up in a DAM system or a MAM system that was easy to access. Editors would create some data around stock and we would inherit, and then we would have a team that would create more data around these stock elements and then push them out to studios, to our own shows, etc. When it came to the film clips, historically the studio didn't have a real good solution for how to solve problems when somebody was looking for a film clip. So the example that a lot of people are familiar with, they remember the old iPhone commercial, the first iPhone commercial, right, where everybody's picking up and saying hello, hello, hello. A lot of people remember that commercial. So that request came in, and we all got in a room and said, can you think of any movies where people pick up the phone and say hello? And kind of brainstormed, and then went to the video library and checked out a bunch of DVDs and popped them in and tried to find stuff. Super slow. By the time we had found everything we needed, there wasn't really an action that we could take in order to serve those clips up to the content or to the client, because the client had moved on. So we recognized that we needed to have some better way of being able to discover this content, but we didn't want to necessarily predefine all of our clips and try to anticipate what the customer wanted. We wanted to be able to create something that was more dynamic, so that if you're looking for a specific line of dialogue or a scene or just a moment or a funny face or whatever it is that you're trying to find, we would have the data that would allow you to sort of drill into the catalog and find whatever those moments were. So we set about to, all right, we're going to create all this data, let's see who we can get data from. But as we socialized this, and some of my Sony colleagues probably remember this, we found that there were other groups in the studio that were trying to solve similar problems on their own, and every single one of those groups was duplicating the same process, the same effort over and over and over again. You think about clips that are used for marketing. So the theatrical team, they create their clips that are going to be pushed out to market the film. That happens, then we go into home entertainment. They would pick different clips, maybe the same clips, go through the same level of approvals process, etc. Now we get into the television group. They're doing the same thing. So there was a lot of repeated work. There was also a lot of risk around making sure that any legal restrictions that existed were actually tracking through to each of the groups that needed to do the selection. Those existed in different systems. So our idea was to pull all of that together and create a single repository of time-based metadata that could be shared across multiple groups and that would allow not just our content licensing team, but all of these groups that had need to do something that would leverage film clips, have a place where they could go in order to access that data. So, what is time-based metadata? So, think about your film strip of your film, right? Sorry, that's a little bit blurry. Where you've got a runtime of material, and as the movie is moving along, or the film is moving along, television production is moving along, there's different things that are happening, right? Facial recognition, speech to text is tagging things at this granular level, right? So you're not just looking at, okay, I know this is a superhero movie, it's where does the superhero show up? Or I know that this is a comedy, what are actually the scenes that are funny, right? And where are those falling within the title? So we do use facial recognition, pulling in character attributes from things like main title and other documents we get from productions, things that we can pull from IMDb sometimes, just getting a really good understanding of who are these actors, what are the characters that they're playing, what are their archetypes. We do believe in archetypes. Somebody, I think, earlier today was like, doesn't believe in archetypes. We find those really valuable when we're trying to find a doctor or a lawyer because somebody's asking for that. So tagging that, but not just that they're in the movie, where exactly are they showing up in the movie? Doing the same thing with dialogue. If you want to find, you know, the scene where they say, I want the truth, and we all know where that is. But if it's something a little more generic, like run, or help, or I love you, right? That exists all over the place. You want to be able to drill in and find that. So taking script documents, doing some phonetic indexing, really getting those in sync with all of the pictures in our inventory. So we layer that on top of the film, right? And you start to get a more robust picture of what does this movie look like, what's happening at any given point, right? All using some machine learning and automated services to do this. But automated services don't solve the entire problem. There's a lot more that we want to know about our content. What do you see on screen? What are the characters doing? How do they feel? What brands? Big need for us to be able to know when Coca-Cola or M&M or what have you shows up within a particular film. Where did it take place? Themes, tones, features. All these things at a granular level start to give you a much richer picture of what that piece of content is. Helps us for, obviously, film clip licensing, but helps for some other things that we've discovered along the way as well, right? So now we start to add another layer. What does this title now start to look like, where you're adding dialogue and keywords and themes and breaking it up into the scenes that maybe the script had for each of the log lines and dividing that up so that you've got scene one, scene two, scene three, because that's how some people want to consume content. And then we do, I mentioned the S&P stuff, right? So then we do the S&P stuff. So doing music, doing legal, identifying all those restrictions that might be advertising and publicity restrictions that we need to flag so that we're not pushing that content out into a marketing use case. Adds another layer, and then we can start to run not just our use case, where we may need to find a scene with a specific line of dialogue, a theme. We want to be able to push that into use case one, but we also want to help maybe our marketing teams, where they're going to be able to look and see, okay, tell me all the clips from a title that are going to avoid advertising and publicity restrictions, and querying that data in order to figure out what scenes are going to be used for them. As we have played around with this data and created it, we've always wanted to find really cool ways that we could leverage that data and search it. That's kind of how this topic came up, where in having a conversation with Matt and Michael about the Data Hub, it was like, well, what would happen if we just put all of our data into the Data Hub? What could we do with that? So let's see what we can do with that.
Okay, so we worked, MarkLogic, myself, Matt, worked with Jason and Nicole, and we built this application called the Village Well on top of all this really great data that you've been hearing about. So I'm just going to go right into character. I work for Jason. He's a great guy. That's my role here. And he comes to me one day. He says, Michael, we need some scenes for cooking. So I come to the Village Well app, and I just type in, if I spell it right, cooking. And is it got? I'm a little over to the right there. I want to show you something else here. But I'm going to search my keyword and click search. And there we go. So I get a number of titles. And I'm going to explain in the next scenario a little bit more about the interface. But I get a number of titles. I'm going to go and click. And I get a little bit of metadata as well. The number of scenes that are in each title, as well as the runtime where you have cooking. So let's see what we get here. Eat, Pray, Love. Oh, that looks good. This one definitely here has cooking because I see it in some nice food. Wait a couple of seconds. You'll hear the bubbling noise if we had some audio, but this is definitely about cooking. So I am going to get that, bring it over to Jason, and say, here you go. Now that was very simple, right? You probably all could do that. But as Jason was saying, there's a lot more to getting at this data. You want to have many more filters. You want to maybe filter on tone, on actors, on character types. You could even do some browsing here, as you've seen, on maybe just by studio label here, or release year or genre, right? So Jason comes to me again and says, Michael, find me some scenes where they say, I love you. So I will come again to my application, type in, I love you. And
Which is not a strange thing to ask.
And we were going to filter this now by tone. We want this, he wants a real romantic scene. He could easily have asked me for certain theme types like dating and love, maybe different character types, like doctors. We have places we could filter on. And also down here, it's important whether or not this has been cleared for advertising or for publishing. So he asked for romantic, and I have a nice little search box here. There could be hundreds of tones here, so this makes it very easy to get to a romantic tone. And let me just move over. And again, I'm searching, I've got to do keywords, just the description, the synopsis, but I'm going to search the script itself. And there we go, I get a number of different tiles. And then I remember, you know what? He had some other requirements. And Jason, I said, is a great boss, I want to really meet this assignment. I'm going to come back here. I've got romantic. He says, you know what, we don't want this to be funny, so I will negate funny. This is going to be a real romantic scene. My other filter is here. And also, because we want wider distribution, content with less restrictions, I'm going to choose from group 3, group 2 actors, and negate the group 1 actors here. The other cool thing about this data, the way we've modeled it, is remember, it's time-based. So you'll see when we get to the detail that the scenes we get are pictured on the timeline. So I want the person to say, I love you, but I want these actors to remain on the screen for 5 seconds. So let's go ahead and search. So now I have a different list, and I'll go ahead and click Maid of Honor. And here you could see, this is the timeline. You could see where the scenes show. And this gives me the ability, by having the timeline and knowing where these scenes appear, you could be very, very creative in the questions that you want to ask. Maybe 10 seconds before this, they were in a fight, or 10 seconds before that, other actors were in the scene. So again, very, very complex, interesting questions to really get the content that your customer or partner wants. And I'll just pick this here. We don't have any audio, so here's where the lip syncs come in. I say, and if anybody wants to kiss
can
me,
you, can you actually?
all right.
With that, and Jason, here's your content, and there you go.
All right, thank you, Michael.
Thanks, guys.
Just to quickly close out, because we have a specific business about licensing clips, but like, how does this apply to you, whatever area you're in? What we have found is that what we created for our business ended up helping us inform the clips that got selected for like iTunes. And then those clips, pulling it back into our Village Wheel, helped us understand what we needed to put into the Voodoo Extras platform, helped us understand what clips were going to perform well and we could make available for interstitials on Tribeca Shortlist, has helped our digital networks group understand what clips that they can push out to Fandango legally and run ads against. And not pictured here, but even going so far as helping us understand how to, because we do nudity detection and flagging language, so how does that help with our airline edits? Doing things around, just escape me, no, doing the airline edit, so apologies for that. And I want to turn it over to
Matt for compliance.
Thank you. Yeah, hand it back over to Matt before we run out of time.
All right, cool.
So, no problem. So thanks, Jason. And, you know, you're starting to see a picture of data with lots of things going around it. You know, and coming back to the original, that's smart content. This is a really good example of how much complex data needs or is available. And when you actually can bring it together and align it, you get a really great outcome. That's kind of what we're about. So we mentioned this is a MarkLogic Data Hub project. It's a data hub because it brings in data from all these different sources. You know, we did the things they have internally. You started talking about some of the inbound. Maybe you could begin to do things like the social media feeds back in, or even link it to campaigns. Start to get that 360 view. And that's really the promise of investing in the data, because it just continues to get more and more valuable as you go along. So, very quickly, any questions and comments? And this is also for Jason, since I'm sure they have questions for you. I don't hope you have any questions for me. Yeah, quick question.
What technology did you use to have a timeline-based database?
That one's for you.
We use Veritone to store that data and some tools that they have in order to tag it and create it.
All right, one more question.
How long did it take you to get all that data in and the tree present? How long was that project?
Did we start this project? I think we've been doing it for 7 years now, and we've got the top 650 titles that we've done this. So it's not the only thing that our team does. I mean, we've got the stock assets, the film, the photo assets, et cetera. We've got folks that are doing marketing for our teams as well. But yeah, it's been a while.
So, but how long did it take for us to get the data in the hub, Michael?
A couple hours.
So once you have great data, we're here to leverage it for you. I'm going to close it out with that. We're here at the show. We have a booth over talking about what we're doing. Something we just announced is that Data Hub Pattern is now a service. So a serverless solution that you can begin to bring your data in, get that kind of value, and hopefully we'll see you out there. So thank you all very much.